Now we're on the air. Okay, so let's pick up at the let's pick up at so that I find the right file. Yeah. Okay. So we had just gone through the sugya about Kabbalah Basmo, and the thing that most interested me about that sugya at the end was that the final makor that we had was one that was the makor from Nazir, and I wanted to point out first of all, right, as I pointed out earlier, that the raya from Nazir doesn't tell you anything about health.
About what?
Health. It just tells you about pain. Right, that's a flaw that we had noted earlier in the attempt to prove a thesis on the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and that's really a broad question, right? We know if this is the only source, so do we have any source at all for an obligation to provide general health? Right, there's a prohibition against suicide. Maybe there's a proactive obligation to avoid death, but we haven't yet found anybody come up with a reasonable, right, with a reasonable source for avoiding injury. Right, that's right. That's right. I just wanted to put that on the table. Okay, having done that, we move to Gemara. Move to Gemara in Tanis. Okay, Rory, you on for this? Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara in Tanis says, right? Shmuel says, Kol Yoshe B'Tanis Nikra Kote, and the rationale for that is that he holds like our friend Rabbi Ezra Kapper, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what did Shmuel say earlier that makes this problematic? In the previous sugya, Shmuel says.
He said that it was talking about, it was referring to the sugya was talking about.
They're talking about Yoshei B'Tanis, right? And
what?
Right, and if you say, I swear that I will be Yoshei B'Tanis, that is an example of what?
Of a shmuel that you could keep against the author.
That's right. So how do we deal? So how do we deal with Shmuel saying here? Anybody who is Yoshei B'Tanit is a chote, when Shmuel just volunteered as the example of a legitimate mode of self harm, is to say Tanis. How do we reconcile that? All right, Ron, what do you want to say?
לכן הוא קורא לזה נקרא חוטא, ולכן גם הוא קורא את זה כרע על האחרים, לא רק במובן האובייקטיבי שתענית מניעת אכילה הרע על עצמך, אלא גם בגלל שעשית מעשה שלילי, שלכן גם המילה הרע קשורה אליו. הוא לא עוצר את זה לגמרי, זה לא עצור. פשוט נקרא חוטא כאמירה יותר מתה הלכתית.
באנגלית אומרים, this is wrong,
yeah.
But not עצר. Okay. So now we have, so the word נקרא חוטא now means wrong. And Shmuel holds like Rav Elazar HaKapper. So Rav Elazar HaKapper holds what about Kabbalah Ba'atzmo?
If
the Gemara refers to the
Tzom, come here.
Kemakor lama. Kemakor lama. Lama.
Meifo.
Meifo asugi omer shasur. Meifo omer shasur.
Hai
tanu de omer ma.
שאומר שהאדם אינו
רשע... איפה משתמש במילה אסור?
הוא לא משתמש. הוא לא כמו הגמרא.
לא, אני יודע, אוקיי? אז אם אתה בטוח מתחילה שאין אדם רשאי, פירושו אדם אסור, אז אם כן יש סתירה, אבל אם אתה בטוח לאפשרות שאין אדם רשאי, זה אומר שזה wrong, אז אין סתירה בכלל. הגמרא רק מביא ראיה שנקרא חוטא. אין אדם רשאי, זה אומר שהוא נקרא חוטא, הוא לא אומר שזה
אסור. אני חושב שזאת ראיה בעייתית גם, הגמרא בפני עצמה, כשהגמרא עובד רבי אלעזר כפר, גם אני חושב
שזה. אוקיי, דבי, מה אתה רוצה להגיד?
זה מחלוקת בין שמואל לסמן גמר, אני לא מבין מה רבי אלעזר כפר
אומר. זה מחלוקת בין שמואל לסמן גמר, זה מחלוקת בין שמואל לסמן גמר. כן. אז אני לא יודע מה זה גמר.
Shmuel is still working under the assumption that there is a separate iser of Kabbalah, and therefore I can demoke him the Shvua case to a case of Eishen Patanis, which is wrong but not utter. Once we reject Shmuel Dokimta, then we have to pin the position of Chabal Ba'atma Usar on somebody. So, and the only one we're left with is Rabbi Elazar HaKafar, so it must be according
okay, to... Okay, so David is pointing out...
...reject Shmuel Dokimta that Rabbi Elazar HaKafar meant it as a real Usar.
Okay, so David is pointing out, correct me if I'm wrong, is that actually I was oversimplified. Because the only reason that Shmuel says that the Braita of Nishtal HaRal Atmo is talking about a Shev B'Ta'anis, according to our Gemara, is that he believes that other kinds of self-harm are usur.
Yes.
Right? So even though, right, so it turns out that the Gemara seems to believe there, right, even though the phrase Adam Rashai is, right, does not demonstrate isur, but the, right, but that Shmuel has to establish it in the case of a Shei B'Tani, it seems to imply that Shmuel, at least, holds that real Chavala is usur. That's it, right? That is it, right? That is a real point. Okay, I concede that. I suspect there is a way out, but I don't have one offhand. Okay. Right, so David wants to tell the end of, at least the Stam of the Gemara over there holds that Shmuel believes that Chavala is Legamrei Usur, and that the Gemara there ends up believing that Shmuel and that Shmuel's position that Chavala is really Usur is connected to Lazar Kapper's position that Chavala is really Usur, but here the Gemara seems to think that Shmuel and Lazar...
No.
Yeah?
The Gemara, after rejecting Shmuel Okimta
right.
because of a textual argument,
yes.
says that the only Tana we are left with and we can possibly pin our Mishnah on is Rabbi Elazar Kapar.
Right.
So we who reject Shmuel Okimta have to say that Rabbi Elazar HaKapar is talking about actual Iser. Shmuel, who is comfortable with making that Okimta textual argument aside...
That Okimta doesn't get him a Tana that says it's Usur.
What?
What Tana does Shmuel have who says that Chavala Basmecha is Usur?
Our Mishnah. We have no reason to question the existence of a Tana for our Mishnah were it not in seeming contradiction with the Mishnah in Shavuot.
Uh-huh.
The only reason why we need to establish who is our Mishnah like is because there's a contradictory Stam Mishnah in Shavuot.
Uh-huh.
But if you can make an Okimta on that Mishnah in Shavuot, you're not bothered by the question.
And then you just think that it's our Mishnah as such. You're not bothered by the existence of a parallel Braita that says the opposite.
Right, because then you could just assume, okay, there's a parallel Braita, but the Stam Mishnah position is against the parallel Braita. And I don't normally... If something is a uniform Stam Mishnah position, I don't normally need to find another
uh-huh.
source for it.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Well done. Okay. Good. So we go from right. So we have right. We have that. Did all of you follow what David's argument is?
No.
David's fancier argument is as follows: that we start off right. David, if you know what I argued in the flow of the sugya. Was that we start off with a Mishnah which seems to say Ein Adam Rashai Lachvol Batmo. We end up with desperately trying to find any Tana who holds that position. But why? If we started off with a Stam Mishnah, why don't we just say the Stam Mishnah says it? Okay, so I argue, right, so that was literally I argued, wow, that's an interesting move in a sugya to start from a Stam Mishnah and end up claiming that you barely have anybody who says this. Right, what David says is that in the way the Gemara gets there is by initially claiming that the Stam Mishnah is impossible because it contradicts what it presents as a universally agreed Braita, which says that you can't that a Shvuah L'Haral Atzmecha is Chal, and if Chalal Atzmecha is Asur, then a Shvuah L'Haral Atzmecha should not be Chal. Now the Gemara has a way, right? And that's why the Gemara thinks that the Mishnah, you can't just take the Stam Mishnah, it has to be a Machlokas Tanayim, and once it's a Machlokas Tanayim, then I need to find somebody to back up the Stam Mishnah. So, since the reason the Gemara presents the Stam Mishnah as needing support is because it contradicts the Braita and Shavuot, but Shmuel doesn't believe it contradicts the Braita and Shavuot. Because Shmuel says the Braita and Shavuot is talking about Tanis. Right? Therefore, Shmuel Dafka is the one who doesn't need Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. So there's a sort of an irony, right? So the way David's setting it up is the Gemara here believes that our original Gemara believes that Shmuel holds Asur L'Adam Lachvol B'Atzmo, and Rav Elazar HaKafar holds Adamas Torah Lechavol Batzel, but they don't agree with each other. Whereas the Gemara in Tanis believes that neither Shmuel nor Rav Elazar HaKafar believes Adamas Torah Lechavol Batzel, but they do agree with each other. Right, that's what we have to end up saying.
Well, the Gemara in Tanis doesn't tell us a word about Kabbalah. All we know about is Tanis.
And it Nikra Chote. Which you understand in light of Shmuel elsewhere has to mean not usher.
Yeah.
And it holds like Rabbi Elazar HaKafar, therefore Rabbi Elazar HaKafar must hold not usher.
Rabbi Elazar HaKafar, Aliva, the Shmuel, could still hold that Tainis is Chote, but not usher, and Kabbalah is
okay, even fancier. Now we're in great Akhoreshit territory. The Gemara, right? Since Shmuel was the only one above the Kama who didn't need Rabbi Elazar HaKafar to say that Kabbalah Batnach was usher, therefore, the Gemara in Tanis can say that Shmuel holds like Rav Elazar HaKafar Lishitaso, that Rav Elazar HaKafar is not necessary for the usher position. It's beautiful. Anyway, how convincing it is depends on how happy or that methodology, but it's beautiful. I award two aesthetic points, if nothing else. Pardon?
The least convincing way, except for all the other ones.
No, it's just a beautiful illustration of that methodology.
For the Ibai, the Tanakama, the Kula Kama, or the Chuma Kama?
The
Kula
Kama.
Hakolafik for the.
Okay, so you're assuming the line now. Why is that Hakolafik? Is the Tanakama relative to whom?
Rabbi. According to this Rabbi Akiva.
Okay, so we're going to assume, right, that this line of the Gemara, left if anyone argues the contrary, that the line Tanakama really means the line which says Hakolafik for the. Yes, sir.
We're going to address all the previous.
So the question is, if it's Tana Kama, all the anonymous positions of the Mishnah up until Rabbi Akiva, or just the one that's called the Kibbutz. Okay, that's a fair.
Rabbi Yehuda Atir is saying this line, send the Tana Kama.
Rabbi
Yehuda and the Beer Shalom, they are Chorot Shekhoi Tana Kama.
There's a tangent which Rabbi Yehuda speaks about, but you don't think you can go that far. That's the, since Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he really didn't push it.
Okay,
I'm not so.
Rabbi Yosef says Mana. Rabbi Yosef Hirosh and Rabbi Yosef. Yeah, but that's just an
interruption
of the
Mishnah.
Could
be
Tana
Kama and Rabbi Yuda. I'm not down to this either way, yes.
I would say that Tanakama is like Kolofi and Baish, then in Baish.
You would have said Tanakama is like Kolofi and Baish in Baish if it weren't for the Pisgah.
The one for?
For the Pisgah. Like, you already put it on the line, that's all Kolofi is Baish.
Right.
And the manuscripts would say, which
right.
Replace Tanakama with that's all Kolofi is Baish. I think that the ambiguity is there initially, but there's certainly a strong bias towards Elliot's position based on the Pisgah and based on the manuscript. So I'm willing to go with that unless, right, I'm open to the possibility that we'll find a Rishon who doesn't. But right, so I'm willing to go with that for now. Okay.
Assuming that there would be any distinction between a kol v'yamid bayesh, v'yamid bayesh, v'yamid bayesh, and a kol v'yamid kodo, and assuming that's not the exact same person. Right, which is what
well,
several.
I what line
but I'm saying the several Rishonim assume that the same person.
Yes, yes.
By definition, so in which case it really doesn't matter.
Very likely. Yeah. I'm
saying.
Let me ask you a literary question right now.
Right. I'm just saying that meaning.
Yes.
Right, even if you could say that it wasn't true, literally.
It may not have enough to
do
that.
Right.
Okay. Good. So Tanakama Lasula Tamar or the Kumatama. So what's the question?
His statement about Kol Fikvado, if it the Kula that you'd have to pay less. Based on someone's cover, or is it the chumah you have to pay more based on someone's cover?
Less than what?
How I understood it is the baseline of 400. How it's spelled out in the Gemara before.
How it's spelled out in the Gemara before?
In the Mishnah before, yeah.
In the Mishnah before. Aha. So
that would make the most sense.
Is the position which comes after.
If you're setting up Hakol Afik Vodor and Rabbi Akiva's statement as a machloket, then the part that comes beforehand has to be a general standard that everyone agrees to.
Aha, okay, good. So we're going to claim that there's a consensus Mishnah, which is the at least the parts which give fixed amounts from various courts are consensus. And following that, there's the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, Tanakama Rabbi Kiva. Right, and the question about that is the Tanakama coming to be Mekil not relative to a previous position, but relative to a previous standard. Right, that's what I understand. Okay, good. So the previous standard we're only interested in Priyat Rosh HaIshah, right, presumably. So the previous standard is Priyat Rosh HaIshah is four mitzvahs. Right, and so the question is Rabbi Akiva coming to be is the Tanakama coming to be Mekil. Which would mean what?
You pay less, based on how that she has less kavod.
You pay less, meaning that...
You pay less to a poor person.
Yeah.
Meaning, meaning that there are people to whom you pay
less. Yes.
And there are no people to whom
you
pay more.
Pay more.
Yeah.
Okay, meaning you're right, so... If the Tanakama comes before, then the previous standard is set is established as up to.
Yeah.
Right? Right, means that you pay up to 400 zuz. Or the Tanakama is a Kumra, in which case it means?
You pay, that's at least.
At least 400 zuz. Okay. So Ramachal, what question are we leaving out? What possibility are we leaving out?
No.
Right, the possibility of the standard in the middle. You go up on the bottom, right?
So well, but that's what the Gemara leaves out, not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Gemara assumes that the Tanakama is. Either Tanakama relates to the previous standard either as a ceiling or as a floor, and not as a median.
And it also assumes that Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva disagree.
And assumes that Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva disagree, as we'll find it out in a moment.
Okay,
yes, sir.
How are the median work? There's like a guideline, and you know, just about 400?
No, it's the fixed standard. Everyone gets 400.
No, but
400,
then
Tanakama can't help everything because I call it Bifodo. Right? So the line I call it Bifodo. The Gemara assumes has to relating it. Now, it's reasonable to say that if you treat that as a consensus statement, so, right, setting it as a median doesn't help so much, although it could. You know, you could say that's what the standard case is, and you adjust basically, right, you adjust upwards and downwards based on it. It's not impossible. But we might understand once you relate to it as a consensus position, you can understand why it would say if there's a standard next to the bottom or the top. If you can relate to it as a conflicting position, right, then that becomes much more problematic. But I think it's fair to say that Eliezer's reading is absolutely right so far in the Gemara, that the Gemara is assuming that there is no disagreement, that this previous statement sets a standard which is universally agreed. The only issue is, what kind of standard is it set? Right, so we're trying to figure out which one the Tanakama. Whether the Tanakama relates to it as a floor or ceiling, so go on, Tashma.
Tashma, they come on, Rabbi Akiva, I feel. Basically, they assume Rabbi Akiva disagreed. Rabbi Akiva's statement about Aniim b'Yisrael is a disagreement with Tanakama, and therefore, because Rabbi Akiva says that you have to consider Aniim b'Yisrael as normal standard people, which would mean that it's either, it should either mean Rabbi Akiva holds it l'chuma or as an entire equal standard. Therefore, if Tanna Kamma is disagreeing with him, he has to say it's lower.
Interesting. So what's the first part? You say that Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva says. Now you understood that to mean that Rabbi Akiva believes either that everybody is equal. How do you get that out of the words?
No, that not that everyone is equal, but that they are at that standard.
What standard?
For instance.
How do you know that?
Because that's how the Qumran stands with it. He's disagreeing with Tanna Kamma and assumes that you treat them as normal people, then clearly Tanna Kamma thinks you don't treat them as standard people.
Okay, in other words, you're not saying that this is a compelling reading of Rabbi Akiva, you're saying it's compelling that this is a Gemara's reading of Rabbi Akiva.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So the order for the Gemara to have brought a Raya, the Gemara must have believed that when Rabbi Akiva said that you see even Aniyim as an Torah Jerem and Sam, what he means is that even Aniyim gets 400 Zeus.
That's my view.
Okay, Rory, what are you going to say?
Is that an Ani Shabu Matalam gets lower, so a Kalafi Kodo is a Kula.
Are we, do we ever deal with Ani Shabu Mota Olam in these
right.
cases?
So that is to be character, right? The non-Jews are the Persian for this purpose of this Gemara. That's the answer to this. Interesting question. Yes, sir.
Maybe one of the things that I've been kind of bothered by is that Rabbi Akiva, at least here, does not feel like a halakhic state. And so maybe one could suggest that Rabbi Akiva is kind of giving a drush, that he's giving some sort of explanation of the halakha, because it seems that, at least if you go with the story exists, that Rabbi Akiva is saying the kula, and then you say Shema Mina, that the Tanakhava is also the kula. I guess maybe the assumption is that Rabbi Akiva is not, that no one would have even thought that Rabbi Akiva would disagree with the Tanakhava, that he was simply giving a little, like,
interesting.
Wait,
how do you
read that? How do you understand the Gemara's conclusion? Shema Mina Tanakhava, if Rabbi Akiva says this, and that you have to see them as Bnei Chovin.
Okay. So what I want is a girsa that says Shema Minat Tana Kama Kama
Shema Minat.
Yeah, that would be lovely.
That would be lovely, but it doesn't exist.
The Munich manuscript does not have the entire Shema Minat line.
Yes.
It just brings the...
That's right.
I
think it's probably, it's almost certainly an error. Okay.
Yeah. Munich isn't the...
Okay.
So,
Munich
okay,
is missing stuff.
I want to make two points, and I want to go on to the next thing and keeping this in mind. At one point, I think this is relevant. When you say, when Rabbi Akiva makes this line, so what's his justification? Right? If in fact these people don't have that kind of cover, what's his justification for saying we view them as if they do? So they do have that kind of cover. Is Rabbi Akiva saying?
Rabbi Akiva saying there are other factors besides money that you can get cover from.
No, it's just really no time. He just wants to be nice to the poor people, and therefore we're going to see them like they have cover.
How does being nice to the poor people enable you to take money from other people if they haven't actually done you this injury?
No, because they have done, you, because they have an Ava Mitzchak Yaakov, you have done them this injury.
So
even
they have this cover.
Okay.
Right. If Rabbi Akiva is making an assertion, this is that all Jews have X level of cover, right? Because they are all descendants of Rabbi Yaakov who had lots of money, right? right? Then he's not disagreeing in principle that all the people know. What he's saying is, right, you have the wrong standard for measuring cover. And that's one issue I have. Or else Rabbi Akiva is claiming to know that in fact the standard for measuring the injury of Goshen is not their cover at all. Right? That's a much more radical move. That's a much more radical move than Rabbi Akiva is removing the cover standard. And so if there's a yes or not.
I think Rabbi Akiva has two claims.
Yeah.
He's taking the scholar and the when he says you should he accepts that society looks people like according to the financial and the honor that they have on death. But he would like the society to treat them like an Avon Sakrakov as equal. He can't do that. He can't convince all the people in the world, all the Jewish people, to treat them like an Avon Sakrakov. So he said, you should treat them equal, like the Mechol and Sholem in Hassan. But why I say that, why I claim this, why I put fast in this way, because they have been able to have a better person.
You think that he's not, in fact, claiming a
total
of people,
though.
He's just right, he's
making
this
one
for you legally. This is the wrong standard.
Yeah, and the whole idea of the cover is to play in the game
of the society.
That's
what's acceptable. Okay. Okay, maybe you want to say
that? Pretty much the same thing as Ron said.
Says Rabbi Akiva is viewing it as a ceiling. How can that be?
Wait, the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva views it as a ceiling.
It's not clear. It's not clear if Rabbi Akiva is disagreeing and saying l'chumra, you know, less is the ceiling and then more, or if Rabbi Akiva is saying they're all equal.
If Rabbi Akiva can say,
according to the Gemara, even.
According to the Gemara, if Rabbi Akiva can say, like if this is 400, right, and Rabbi Akiva goes both this way and this way,
Desperate.
Then how can you?
Actually,
no.
Desperate. I just meant desperate.
Do you think? Do you want, so that's what Sparmacha argued, right? That Rabbi Akiva thinks 400. That Rabbi Akiva thinks that 400 is the floor, and you can go up from that.
Or that they're all equal.
And so since the Gemara says that since Rabbi Akiva says that, therefore the Tanakhama
does the opposite.
There was Hanukkah, since Rabbi Akiva, assuming Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Hanukkah, so if Rabbi Akiva views the 400 as a floor, then the Hanukkah must view the 400 as a ceiling. There's a lot of leaps there. Not at least. I think it's what Rashi says. But there's a lot of leaps there. Okay, Rory, what do you want to say?
I think that we have to see Rabbi Akiva as a second fallen from his stature would get more. I think that the point is more just that, like, by the very nature of the fact that they're B'nai Avraham and B'nai Yaakov, everybody is a noble person. And the poor people, like, they just had a bad run of luck. But that he actually sees it as an equalizer, and that he's therefore, and as a side note, because by the very nature of all being noble people, they get the highest amount. So I think he's having it at 400, but then equalizing.
I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but we saw the brisa brought by the Gemara about Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon, and it's fairly clear. I mean, those were all students of Rabbi Akiva, and it seems like each of them has some sort of manifestation of how to understand Rabbi Akiva's opinion. So I think that in order to understand this statement in this Mishnah, we have to figure out, is this statement Rabbi Akiva's original statement, or is this the view of one of the Tanaim in that Brisa?
Okay, good. That's a fair question to ask. Although, not yet. I want to ask you a question down the track. When we say that rich people have more dignity than poor people, what does that mean?
No. As a neighbor speaker, something of difference between dignity and honor. I would like to say honor, not dignity.
Okay. Actually, we've been a whole session of the conference on that last year. Let's leave it untranslated for now. Okay, let's leave Kavod. So, Toby, what does that mean? We have the Kavod of rich people, and we have the Kavod of poor people, and we think they're different. Why do we think they're different?
Mizikin, so would be how much a person would be willing to pay to avoid having this embarrassment done to them.
Good. So what's the problem with that?
The problem with that is I don't know if there's necessarily a problem with that.
In the language of Rabbi Akiva.
Oh, okay. In Rabbi Akiva, the problem is that it doesn't reflect that. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying that you're all children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's very nice, but ultimately, a rich person would pay more to not
absolutely
be embarrassed,
right,
and a poor person.
The category of people who used to be rich, right, doesn't have any relevance to that understanding. Right, okay, so Ray, we'll give it to me all to understand.
Well, I never understood it when you understood it. I said Meichon Shered Benchsein. That's the language that we used to explain how we see rich people. We see rich people who have boshet or something. So you can't really judge how much they would pay to not have boshet, because that's an exorbitant amount of money. They would pay an exorbitant amount of money to not have boshet, rich people. So view them as b'nei chorin she'erdu b'nechsein. View them as though they've lost some amount of money. And that's the value of the boshet.
What?
What?
Sorry,
I mean, that's what the Meiri says.
Let's read the line of the Kiva line. Even the poorest in Israel.
How do we evaluate their boshet? We evaluate their boshet. There's some amount that they've lost, and that's the amount of money that we're going to charge them. That we're going to pay off their boshet. I'll do it again. So first, I have to say he assumes you know already that rich people, we don't actually pay the amount for their boshet, because the amount for their boshet is an exorbitant amount of money. That would be fully unfair to any mivayish, to be mivayish a rich person. But what do? We pay him like you yard ni nechasav a little bit. We figure out how much, you know, some normal amount to lose from his nechasim. Like he's a b'nei chorin, should yard ni nechasim a little bit. So, Rabbi Akiva, feel unusual, Yisrael.
You have to assume that the second half of that line of Rabbi Akiva is already known, which, even though it doesn't come up anywhere in the Mishnah.
Doesn't work for me at all.
Right,
I mean,
you're
being
a
feeler.
That's right.
A feeler
in Israel.
No, like, how do you get Yerdim and Yisrael to be the amount that they lost through the bushet as opposed to their condition?
No, because that's how we do. How do we figure out how much to pay rich people?
I didn't do that. I don't buy it at all. That's all I can do. We can argue about it later. Dennis, what do you want to say?
Something that troubled me when we initially read this
isn't
for saying that it was as if they used to be rich and then they lost their money. That they then have the ability to become rich again. If you were a millionaire, you lost $3 million, you may have nothing now, you may in theory be poor, but you have the capacity to get more, and when we talked about bullshit, we said that you could give the person time in order to pay it back. So that might be a factor in how we reach.
But they might yet be rich again.
Right, because if you have a poor person who, you know, like, you know, is a farmer, and they don't have the ability to become necessarily bad, they don't have the education or whatever, than that. If you have someone who has it, you know, okay, Howard Jones lost $1 billion. He has so many connections and everything, he can get it again. He's also not poor, but like, whereas do we have the ability to magically have $1 billion? Maybe not.
I don't know. So is anyone willing to defend the fact that, or anyone consider the possibility that rich people simply have more trouble than poor people, and formerly rich people have more trouble than people who have never been rich? Because
no, if you say the kavod is a social construct based on how people treat people, right, then definitely, because people generally accord more respect and more deference to people who are of greater means, whether you think that's morally acceptable or not. And then if you say that kavod, this is all about satisfying the person's self-perception, right, and how they were hurt. It does assume that every single one of these people in general is that machbid on their kavod. It assumes that a lot of rich people are stuck up. Because there, it could be very, in theory, certain rich people, they're not like that at all. It's interesting that if you think about it, it does instantiate a certain way of looking at rich people and assuming how they look at themselves.
That is why all of the people you've saying so far have been trying desperately to avoid saying. Right?
But that's what it seems to say.
Yeah, I mean,
No, I was actually gonna bring that in because of the accounts about Hillel that he would write even get a susan and eved for people who rich people she'yardu minichsehem, which seems to imply that rich people she'yardu minichsehem still are makpid to the same extent that people that even the people who are still rich are, seems to imply the only difference between rich people and rich people she'yardu minichsehem is the amount of money that they have right now, but the amount of kavod due to them is exactly the same, and therefore the reason that Rabbi Akiva would say is because he's talking about poor people, so he needs to try to create a paradigm in which you can look at somebody who doesn't have money as somebody who still deserves the same amount of kavod as people who are still rich. It's possible that what's driving the Gemara to say that it's the Kula is even just Rabbi Akiva's statement.
Yeah.
Right? Just the fact that Rabbi Akiva's position seems to imply that he would view 400 as a ceiling. Right? Because what he's responding to seems to be that. By saying that even on Yom Shabbat Yisrael we pay just as much as rich people, right? Therefore, it seems to be that you can pay.
To the position which has a scale from 0 to 1,000.
Right.
And he says no. Right? There's no scale from 0 to 1,000. The scale is from 400 to 1,000.
Right, but given that the Gemara is looking at the mission of the way it is, where Rabbi Akiva appears to be responding to a set bar of 400.
He's not. He's responding to a total of
Yes, but Hakol Kvi Kvodo is right after the set bar, and Hakol Kvi Kvodo might not mean anything if we don't have a set bar. Especially if we're looking at the other ones where right it gives set amounts, and that's why we see it seems to be lachumra.
I don't know.
Different standard entirely.
Everyone gets 400, right? You know, like my classes, right? You know, like really nobody gets lower than B minus. Right? That starts putting pressure on the saying, well, some of the B minus students, so you have to give me a B plus. Right, Ben? Right? Because now you're understanding, once you say that a B minus isn't, right, that a B minus is an F, right? So you can't really give me a B minus, and a B minus, there is that kind of pressure. But there is possible to resist it. It's possible to say, no, you know what, I just don't give grades below B minus sometimes.
But not if the Gemara establishes that before. The Gemara establishes it. The Mishnah establishes it.
Right, so I don't know if Rabbi Akiva thinks he's calling somebody the poorest of the poor to give 400. He may just really believe, you know, what you've done is work that is not above the B minus. And you're the kind of person who's not above the big foreign share of an exam. And I tell you nothing about whether you actually deserve an F or a C. Or, I don't think it's impossible. I tried. Somehow they can get good ability minus. That takes a lot of work. Okay, from Alpha, what do you want to say?
Is that maybe just whose honor is not a mistake is at stake here? Like, who should know? Like, whose honor is being split? Whose honor are the kids talking about? Since I can only talk about one of them, since it's going to be singular. And it's also ambiguous. How would they keep as a
don't know enough about the economics. It's a bit, you know,
I'm pretty sure that
it seems
pretty
like a very large award, but is it enough to remove you from poverty permanently?
No, maybe not permanently, but maybe you can make people into different things.
Interesting.
Like some rich person could, you know, someone who wants to give someone money, but they don't want to necessarily do it in a way that they could do that and then have to give them the money, and that would be pretty
I do think there are things that might work.
That's why yesterday, when I going back to what I said yesterday, when we were talking about what is the bab and bodo mean, and I was saying, well, it could be the situation. Because it isn't, like, we weren't necessarily assuming that it's referring to the person who embarrasses and the person who embarrassed, or maybe it's both of them, but why wouldn't it take that entire situation into context? Why can't we read it as that?
That seems like it isn't finding another place
difficult to read
where
it
the word would go in first to a situation as opposed to a person. And that seems to be linguistically unlikely. All right, yes, Robert.
Okay, just to disagree with what you said earlier, I think that, again, 400 is, I think, an inordinate amount of money. If
Portuguese
someone deserves F and giving them a B-minus, again, it's the same sort of thing. You know, someone whose kavod is maybe worth 10 or 20 zuz and giving them 400, I think that that's sufficiently high enough that that you don't need to worry about insulting someone by saying that they're fucking totally worth it.
Well, they only give it to women who have the Hector microphone. Right? They don't give it to people slapping in the face. So it's not, it can't
people slapping in the face, you still get 200, which
right.
is still an inordinate amount.
But then you have to figure out, you know, in order to understand what this means, you have to
what
figure
a great
out
business.
Why, you know, why this is the...
these are ridiculous amounts of
just
money.
I don't know. I don't know the economics well enough, but it does seem...
Even if you say it's a year's worth of wages at minimum wage, saying, you know, $10,000 for getting a slap across the face that didn't even do any damage, that's a lot of money.
Well, maybe their minimum wage was a lot less than our minimum wage.
what you could really buy goes for, I feel like, you know, like, I don't know. I think it's a really interesting. Really interesting. I don't know why that one is the, you know, why tearing off your covering is like the ultimate thing is very insulting. Really interesting.
Have you established why you think I think I have an idea why you got the how you get shmami to Tanakama Lakula.
Right.
Have you established that already or not yet?
I don't even establish it. I think you suggested, right? The basic model, we still have a Delius model that if it's either a floor or a ceiling and Rabbi Akiva, is different from Tanakama, then if Rabbi Akiva sees it maximally as a floor, then Tanakama must see it as a ceiling.
Right, so can I suggest any language of Rabbi Akiva? I think he sees it, why I think it's, you know, he sees it at the very least as a floor, if not as, saying, if Rabbi Akiva, a few on Yom Shema Yisrael, it seems to me that he's bringing up the Enyam. A few of the Enyam, we see them like somebody who's above. That's all.
Before Rabbi Akiva, nobody ever mentioned top red wealth as the criteria. Rabbi Akiva is the first one who said, right, if it weren't Rabbi Akiva, we wouldn't know that wealth and our poverty were actors. You might think it all has to do with, you know, whether you're the kind of person who generally walks around well-dressed and you have a phone in his butt, and people just know you. Are you the kind of person who's knocking on your cupboard or not? Or do you have some kind of public position? Right? So, interesting, Rabbi Akiva is the one who is militating against it. Rabbi Akiva is the one who introduces the standard. And it's worth thinking about that. So, yes.
Wrong, you'd have to say that he's trying to It seems more like he's just saying you have a misconception about how you value people along those axes. I don't think he's. If he said, it would be much easier for him to say something like, it's not in the it's not in the calculations at all. Unless Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov were, the point is that they were themselves rich people, and therefore you
let.
Interpretation of Rabbi Akiva's position that everyone gets the same thing.
Okay, so the mayor seems that the Kuan means whether in fact they never had money or whether in fact they still have money. Right? We measure them all as if they were rich people who lost their money. Now the question is, why do we do that for rich people who still have money? And where did we get this wild standard that we do?
Because if we don't, then we'll never soap, like we said.
Okay, so the mayor is offering a pragmatic reason for liability cap. There's no way you can set a standard for rich people. If you measure things like what rich people are willing to pay for things out of hand, rich people can bankrupt any poor person by getting into a fight with them, because you're trying to set offsetting damages, right? So he punched me in the nose. You punched him in the nose. Well, he owes me $1 million. Hey, you owe him $1, right? I mean, that's the satirical way of framing it, right? Rich person, poor person. Wham! You owe me $1. Wham! Right, this is the hockey tactic of sending the untalented goon after the top player in the hopes that they get into a fight and both of them get sent off the ice. Right? It's a very standard hockey tactic. Right? It's like there are players whose careers are built on their capacity to send the more skilled players on other teams to the fight.